All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, open the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I hope you've gotten to talk to some of the folks that went on the trip to Uganda, talk a little bit about that with them, just to see. I know last week we had them share some testimonies and things, but it was a blessing just to be able to get to go back to the city of Mbali, where we started the church 20 years ago, and just see what God has done, and then take them out to a couple of village ministries and see what God's doing in the village works because of the ministry of Truth Radio, and just how God has blessed that ministry and being able to reach so many people with the gospel there. I mentioned last week how there's a man from Kenya that was an 85-year-old man that was riding his bike 120 miles one way just to be able to be taught the Word of God. And, you know, if it's the weather's not just perfect, we won't even drive, you know, in an air-conditioned vehicle to an air-conditioned building. Are we not spoiled? I'm telling you, we are spoiled beyond what we could ever imagine. And that man did that for 3 years, every 3 months, riding his bike. And we're not talking about a bike like here in America. For 3 years, every 3 months, riding 240 miles just to be able to be taught the Word of God and to grow. And then had to stop because he was getting too old. He had to stop because he was getting too old. He was 85 when he started, right? I'm telling you, man, we have no excuse. Can you imagine? I know we're gonna get to Ephesians in a second. Can you imagine though, the judgment seat of Christ standing behind that man? Think about it. Standing behind that man. I mean, just 3 years. All he was able to do it for was 3 years. But just to be taught the Word of God. First of all, so he could get saved, then he could be taught the Word of God, and then we have to come up after him. And the Lord says, all right, what were you willing to sacrifice? What were you willing to do? You know, some of these people we'll never meet, but I guarantee you they're going to receive a lot more rewards than we will. They don't have all the comforts, they don't have all the technology, they don't have all the stuff that we have, that we think makes life good. But I guarantee you, they're going to be rewarded far greater than what many Christians in America are going to be rewarded. We think we're doing God a favor by showing up on Sunday. Right? Look how important we are, God. We showed up for church on Sunday. I'm telling you, we better wake up. We really don't know what true Christianity really is. I mean, we think about the rest of the world, and it's amazing to see how the rest of the world is. But that's, can I tell you, that's how a lot of people live in the world. And most of the people in our church, they're in Bali and all across Africa, don't have cars. They walk to church. They ride bicycles to church, whatever they need to do. And they're faithful. And God's blessing them. Man, think about that. How many churches have gotten started because of what they're doing out there and reaching people the gospel and being faithful. And it's just exciting that we have an opportunity to be a small part of that. But I hope you'll talk to some of those that went on the trip. And I encourage everybody that's able to. I know some people are not physically able to go on missions trips, but if you're physically able to, I would really encourage you to go on a missions trip sometime, especially young people, teenagers. Go on a missions trip, and we're already looking at one for next year that I think a lot of people will be able to go on. And so right now, start saying, Lord, let me go, right? Let me go on a missions trip that we're going to do next year. So Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, that's why we need to go. That's why we need to go right there, is because of who our enemy is. It's not flesh and blood. It's the powers of darkness, the rulers of darkness, who are trying to keep people blinded from the truth. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So we've been going through this series on the armor of God. And again, it's important that he says we are to put on the whole armor of God. He repeats that twice. Put on the whole armor of God. In verse number 11, in verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, right? Every single piece of it we need. And so we've been going through each of these pieces, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. Last week, we looked at the helmet of salvation, which is not dealing with our salvation spiritually, but the confidence and the assurance that we have in our salvation, the protection that we have, that we need for our mind because of what the devil's trying to do. And then he says here in verse number 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So he tells us exactly what the sword is. He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, the whole purpose of the armor is to protect us from the enemy that we are facing. And it was very obvious during Paul's time, of course, the army, we could say, the military power, the military might during this time was the Roman Empire. And so as Paul is giving many of these illustrations about the helmet and the breastplate and the shield and the belt and on all these different things, there's no doubt these pictures, these images are coming into the minds of those he is writing to, of what was taking place. And he talks about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Now, the swords that the Romans used were, they were actually not really long swords. A lot of times you see in pirate movies or pirate themes or things like that of swashbuckling and all that kind of stuff. They weren't quite that type of sword. In fact, the swords that the Romans used were called a gladius, and the entire sword was only about 27 inches in length. It wasn't that long. The blade was only about 18 inches. It was only about a foot and a half long for the blade. The sword was not one that was used in sword fighting, right? When you think about sword fighting, you know, fencing and things like that, that was not the purpose of this sword. It was not used in sword fighting. It wasn't used really even in one-on-one battle, although, I mean, if push come to shove and somebody's coming at you, of course, you're going to use it any way you can. The gladius was actually used because, again, if you remember, we talked about the shield of faith, and as the Roman soldiers would approach the enemy, they would have this shield, and the shield was almost resembled a door. It was about 4 feet high, and they would be able to almost get their entire body behind it. And as these soldiers would move forward, it would almost these shields would almost create a wall, both in front. And we talked about how each of these soldiers would have a shield, even to protect from above and the sides and things like that. But the sword was not used, and again, not used so much in sword fighting or one-on-one combat. It was used more to thrust. And so as they would move forward with this wall of shields, they would be able to just basically kind of reach around the shield and just thrust with these swords. So you didn't need a super long sword, and you didn't want to have a super long sword because of what you were doing. And so these swords were shorter, and they were used for thrusting as they would stand behind the shield and then thrust the sword from the side or even over the top, trying to pierce the enemy. And so they weren't super long. But notice that it is, and again here, notice he says, and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, right? So notice, whose sword is this? Whose sword is it? It's the Spirit's sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, right? It's the Spirit's sword. The Word of God, and think about this, which, and he tells us exactly what it is, which is the Word of God, right? The Word of God was given by the Holy Spirit of God, right? When we go back to 1 Peter, he says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? So you had these men, the apostles and prophets and those that as the Spirit of God would speak to them, they would then write what the Spirit of God told them to write. So the sword of the Spirit, this the Word of God, is the Spirit's sword. It is His words. It's what He told them to write down. Now, since every Christian is on the spiritual battlefield with satanic and evil forces of this world, it is important for us to know how to handle the Word of God properly. We have to know how to handle it right, to rightly divide the word of truth, right? Why does Paul say over and over in Scripture that we need to yield and walk in the Spirit, right? Even earlier in Galatians and Ephesians, he talks about walking in the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit. Because if we truly want to know how to wield the sword, we need the best teacher that there is. The best teacher that we can ever have is the Holy Spirit of God. It's His sword. It's His word. He's the one that told them. That's why we know from beginning to end, there's no contradiction in it. That's why we know even after 1,600 years of the writing of the Word of God from Moses all the way to John, as he writes the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, in 1,600 years, we know there's no mistakes. There's no contradictions in it. Why? Because it has the same author all throughout those 1,600 years. It wasn't men. It was the Holy Spirit of God who was using these men and giving the words to these men to be able to write down what He wanted. So if we want to know how to wield it, it's important that we go to the right teacher. We go to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Paul tells us in, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says we are to discern spiritual things with spiritual, right? We have to understand. Well, just go over there with me real quick. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice, he says in verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His, what's that next word? Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So he says, just as every man... We know what is inside of us. Each person knows. We know what is deep down inside. Our spirit knows what is deep down inside of us, right? Now, let's be honest. We don't want anybody else to know what that is. Right? We don't want anybody else to know, right? That's why we keep it inside, right? We don't want anybody else to know what is truly inside. Because, look, let's face it. Even though we're saved, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked, right? You say, well, I thought you were saved. You still have a wicked heart? I have a wicked flesh. Just because I'm saved, just because I'm on my way to heaven, doesn't mean my flesh is somehow perfect. It's not, right? And so because we have a wicked flesh, obviously there are still things that we are dealing with. We're still dealing with wicked things. We're still dealing with the flesh, okay? And he says, just like the spirit of man knows truly what is in man, right? Your spirit really knows what you're like. Things that you don't want anybody else to know about. Your wife, your family, your kids, your pastor. You don't want anybody else to know it because you really know what you're like. And he says, in the same way, the Spirit of God knows the things of God. The Holy Spirit of God knows the things of God that no one else knows. Nobody else knows. He says, the Spirit of God knows those things. And watch this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So God says he has given us his Spirit. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He says he has given us his Spirit because he wants us to truly know him. He has given us his Spirit because he wants us to know the deep things of God. He wants us to know the heart of God. The Spirit of God who knows the deep things of God, he says, I have given him to you so that you can know me. He has given us his Spirit so that we can know him. And God reveals that to us through his word as the Holy Spirit uses these men to write the words of God. Why? Because he wants us to know him. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know that he is holy and just and loving and merciful. He wants us to know these things about him. That's why he gives us his Spirit. That's why the Spirit is used to give us the things of God. Now again, but these things are only spiritual. We've received the Spirit of not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He says, look, when we're talking about the Word of God, the Word of God is foolishness to those that do not know God. It's foolishness. To say that we would base our eternal destiny, to say that we would base our faith off of a book that we would say is written by God, the world says that's crazy. You're insane. You know, you should base it off of science. You should base it off of man's understanding and wisdom and all these things. And we say, no, we're going to base it off what God says. And they say that's foolishness. Why? Because they don't understand God. Right? They're the natural man. But God says he's given us his Spirit, and when we come to know Christ as our Savior, his Spirit dwells within us so that we can know him. And this is why he says back in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You understand that Satan is offended by the Word? Satan is offended by the Word. By the way, the world is offended by the Word. The world is offended by the Word. I mean, it's amazing that even there's such a push, even to just get these simple words removed from currency and public places, in God we trust. That's offensive. That's offensive to people. In God we trust. The Word of God offends Satan. It offends the world. And they are distraught by it. Which is why Satan tries all he can to keep you from it. Satan isn't going to do anything in his power to keep you from the Word of God. Why? Because it's the only weapon we have to defeat him. You understand, all of these other weapons, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, the shoes, all these other things are defensive. The sword is offensive. It's to be used on the offense. Now, it can be offensive to people as well, but it's to be used on the offense. It's not just to be a defensive weapon. It is used to attack. That's why he gives us the sword, and it's the only weapon that we have to use to attack the enemy. Again, why do you think there's such a battle to keep you from it? Isn't it amazing? I mean, just think about it, right? Think about how amazing it is that the amount of effort that the devil puts into trying to keep you from the Word of God. I mean, as Christians, we know we ought to be in the Word of God. And so what happens? I mean, we wake up late, we get too busy, we got to get to work, we're tired, we've got to run the kids here, we've got to do this. I mean, he gets us so busy doing so many things. Why? So we do not spend time in the Word of God. He keeps us from the Word because he knows it is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the weapon that we can use to overcome temptation and the devil. So there's two things I think we need to understand about the sword. Two things. First of all, we need to know it. We need to know it. In other words, we need to spend time with it. To be good at anything, you have to spend time with it. Right? How many of you like to cook? Anybody like to cook? You just wake up one morning and be like, I think I'm going to be a cook today. And you just went into the kitchen, you opened up the cupboards, and you just made the most amazing meal the first time you ever even tried to cook. No. Not happening, right? I mean, even in sports, right? I mean, you think about sports, any type of sports, whether it's baseball or basketball or soccer or whatever. Guess what goes into becoming a good athlete? Time, right? I mean, you think of these guys that take a leather ball and they shoot it through a hoop. Do you know how many hours a day they spend throwing that basketball, shooting that basketball? You know how many hours a day a soccer player plays with that stupid little ball that's less than 18 inches? You know how many hours a day a golf player uses those clubs to hit that little white ball that'll make you madder than anything you've ever heard of? Because it never goes the way you want it to go. I mean, they spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. You think about the military, right? You think about a sniper. How many hours and hours and hours it takes for a sniper to become good with his weapon, the hours that he spends with it. And we think somehow by spending 5 minutes in the Word of God a day, we're going to be proficient. Because I read one chapter, I'm good for the day. Look, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong to read a chapter. I'm not saying it's wrong to read 5 minutes. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have become lackadaisical in our knowledge of the Word of God. We do not know the Word the way we should. And it's obvious because the devil is doing everything he can to keep us from it. He's doing everything he can to keep us from knowing the Word of God. So can I ask you a question this evening? How much time do you spend training with the Word of God? How much time do we spend in training with the weapon that God has given to us, the sword of the Spirit? You say, well, I come to church on Sundays. That's not training with the Word of God. Well, I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's not training with the Word of God. How much time do you spend training with the sword that God has given to you, His Word? How much time do we spend? And then think with me about how many excuses are going through our minds right now why we don't. Well, that's just not me. I'm not a good reader. I'm not a good person to really grasp what I'm reading, or I don't really have the time, or I don't really, you know. Look, hold on a second. Why are we making excuses? We shouldn't make excuses for it, right? Has God given you His Spirit? Has God given you His Spirit? Is it His sword? Is it His Word? Then don't you think He can help you? You see, we've given up before we've even tried. We give up. And what happens? Well, I tried and it was just too hard. Let me ask you a question. You don't think it's hard for these athletes to do it hour after hour after hour after hour? You don't think it's hard for these military men and women to do it hour after hour after hour after hour? Look, I understand you may not have hour after hour after hour after hour in a day. I get that. I understand. We have jobs and we have family and things. I get that. But just to write it off and say, well, it's just too hard, or I just can't do it, and so I'm just not going to, you have fallen into the trap of the devil. You have allowed the devil to convince you that you don't need your most important weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is why he says we must know it. Again, the purpose of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is to make us strong to be able to withstand the onslaughts of Satan. Again, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The more we know, the more we understand the Word of God, the more useful we will be in doing the will of God, and the more effective we will be in standing against the enemy who wants to destroy us. I think what happens so many times is we allow ourselves to just kind of be put to sleep by the enemy. The enemy basically says, oh, I don't really care. I'm not coming after you. I'm not really going to attack you. And we think he's telling the truth. Imagine that. The devil's going to tell the truth. The father of lies is going to tell the truth. Of course not. He's already trying to attack you when he tells you he's not going to attack you. He's already trying to put you to sleep. Why? Because he's saying, you don't really need the Word of God. You don't need to know it. You don't need to study it. You don't need to memorize it. Man, I'm always thankful to hear these young people memorizing Scripture. But listen, adults, when's the last time we memorized Scripture? When's the last time we memorized the Word of God? Well, it's for the kids. I don't think Paul was talking to kids when he wrote Ephesians. I believe he was talking to adults. Now, I'm sure there's probably some kids in there, but I think the majority of the church at this time was adults. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. What do we need to do? We need to have a specific time that we spend studying his word. Do you have a specific time? Can I tell you this? If you don't have a specific time, you probably won't do it. You need to make a specific time. Say, at this specific time, this is where I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to study the Word of God. However time, whatever time it is, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, if you have an hour, whatever. But this is the time that I'm going to spend studying the Word of God. If you don't have a specific time, you will not do it. You know how I know? Because if the boss didn't tell you to be at work at 8, you wouldn't be at work at 8. If the boss just said, come in whenever you want to, not much would get done that day, would it? You got to have a specific time. That's why they say you need to be here from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever it is. There's a specific time. They know who they're dealing with. So does God. Have a specific time. Because if you don't make the time for it, it won't get done. Have a place. Got to have a specific place where you read the Word of God. My kids know in the morning there is a specific spot on the couch that is mine. It's mine. And they better not try to take it because I'll kick them out. That's my spot. That's my place. That's where I sit and that's where I read. That's my spot. I dare them to try to take it. Oh, they've tried. Didn't last very long. Have a specific place. May I say, you ought to have a place that's quiet, free from distraction. Because if it's not, guess what's going to happen? You're not really going to focus much. But have a specific time. Have a specific place. Be consistent. Do it every day. Look, I'm not telling you that if you miss a day, all of a sudden, the whole thing's going to unravel and everything's going to come apart and the devil's going to happen. No, but have a specific time every day. Have a place and be consistent about it. Because here's what happens. You miss a day, and you're like, oh, I'll get it tomorrow. And then you miss the next day, you're like, oh, I'll get it tomorrow. And you miss the next day, and you're like, oh, I'll get it tomorrow. And next thing you know, it's 6 months down the road, and you haven't spent time in the Word of God. And you're like, how did I get here? Well, it started way back there because we weren't being consistent in it, right? By the way, can I just stop here and say, men, your children ought to see you studying the Word of God. They ought to see you reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying they have to see all your notes and everything like that, but they ought to see that mom and dad, they have a specific time every day that they are reading the Word of God. You know what that teaches their children? God's important to you. And by the way, what's important to you will be important to them. You need to have a specific time, a place. Be consistent. Know it. Spend time with it. The more you spend time with it, the more you'll be able to know it and be able to use it. And here's the second thing. Not only do we need to know it, but we need to wield it. We need to wield it. What's the purpose of a sword in the sheath? The sword stays in the sheath, there's really no purpose to it. No purpose to it, right? When we had the VBS, and there was a sword that I had, and all the kids were coming, and it's much longer. It's not one of the Roman swords, but the kids go, "Is that a real sword?" "Yeah, it's a real sword. Can I see it?" "Well, yeah, of course. Why would I want to leave it in the scabbard, right?" So I pull that sword out. It's shiny. Ooh, wow, cool. You stab anybody? No. There's a couple I was really tempted to, though. But I didn't, all right? I controlled myself, right? The purpose of a sword is not to stay in the sheath. It's not to stay in the scabbard. It's to be taken out and used. Now, it may not be used every single moment of the day, but what good is it if we keep it in its sheath? The problem with many Christians, we have the sword of the Spirit, but we never take it out to use it. And as long as it remains in the sheath, it becomes useless. The Bible is useless if it just rests idle. We just leave it on our coffee table. We leave it on a bookshelf. Even resting idle in our mind, if we don't use it, what's the point of it? We have to use it. This is why he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, we put on the whole armor of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God says we need to use it. By the way, one place, this is going to sound really weird, one place we need to use the sword is on ourselves. Now, I don't recommend going and stabbing yourself, okay? But one place we need to use the sword is on ourselves. We need to allow the Word of God to break us. We need to allow the Word of God to pierce our heart, to help us discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Hey, that's not going to happen if we're not in the Word of God. We need the Word of God to work in us, and then we can use it against the devil. Think about it. When tempted in Matthew chapter 4 by Satan, what did Jesus use? He used the Word of God. All three times he was tempted, this is what he said: as it is written. As it is written. When you speak Scripture, don't be surprised when the enemy speaks Scripture back. We think, well, I'll just quote Scripture and he's going to go away. Jesus quoted Scripture and the devil quoted Scripture right back to him. You don't think that the devil knows Scripture? He's gonna quote it right back to you. The problem is it's not going to be quite in context. The devil knew exactly what God said to Adam. And when he came to Adam and Eve and he told Eve, hey, can't you eat of the tree? And Eve said, hey, God said we can't eat of it. No, we're not supposed to eat of it. We're not supposed to touch it. He said, we're going to die. He knew exactly what God said. The devil says, no, you won't. You're not going to die. He wants you to think that the Word of God doesn't mean anything. You don't have to trust and believe the Word of God. And he is going to speak Scripture back to you. You look, and you go back and read Matthew chapter 4. You look at how the devil actually quoted Scripture back to Jesus. But Jesus understood what he was doing, and he used the Word of God to overcome. What about when we're discouraged? What do we need to use? Scripture. When we're discouraged and things don't seem to be going right and it just seems like everything's going wrong, we need the Word of God. Think about what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where do we get His might? From the Word of God. From His Word. So when we're discouraged, whether it's from the world, the flesh, the devil, whatever it is, we need to go back to the Word of God. Think about it. When witnessing, we need to use the Word of God. Peter wielded the sword. 3,000 people came to know Christ. I'd say that was pretty good. That was a pretty good day, huh? Peter wielded the sword. He preached the Word of God. He used the Word of God. 3,000 people got saved. The next week, he wielded the sword again. Guess what happened? 5,000 people got saved. Now, please understand, I'm not saying that's going to happen every time. Paul wielded the sword and people got saved all over the world. You look at all the places that Paul went to and he preached the gospel, he used the word of God, what happened? People got saved. Hey, what's going on in South Korea with Brother Roscoe? What's he doing? Wielding the word of God. People are getting saved. What's Brother Savulovsky doing? Wielding the word of God. People are getting saved. You understand? We have to wield it. We have to speak it. You understand that someone had to wield the word of God for you to be saved? Someone was willing to speak the word of God to you. Someone was willing to use God's word so that you could know that you were lost, so that you could know that you needed to be saved. You could know what God wants for you so that you could come to put your faith in Christ. And they wielded the sword. God used it, pierced your heart. You recognized you were a sinner, accepted Christ as your Savior. This is why he's saying the sword of the Spirit. We have to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, can the weapon be used for defense? Yeah, of course it can. Yeah, when the devil attacks, man, we can use the Word of God. That's why the psalmist in Psalms 119:11 said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Why? What's going to happen? Temptation's going to come. The devil's going to try to tempt us to do what is wrong, try to tempt us to sin and disobey God. And we can use the word as a defensive weapon, but it can also be used as an offensive weapon. To go on the offense and be able to tell people about Jesus Christ, the living scripture is alive. And as we give it out, God uses it to speak to people's hearts. You understand, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is the one weapon that we have that assures victory for the Christian. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying just because you have a Bible, you're going to be victorious. It's not what I'm saying. Just because you have a Bible doesn't mean anything, really. Not until you open it. Not until you get in it. Not until you allow it to change your life will it really do anything. Hey, it can sit in your house, it can sit on your bookshelf, it can sit on your coffee table for years, and it will do absolutely nothing. But when you open it, when you get in it, when you study it, when you know it, when you allow God's Spirit to teach you, and you learn what God has for you, can I tell you something? It will change your life. It'll change your life. And it will enable you to use the Word of God so that others' lives can be changed as well. I'm not saying you have to memorize the whole Bible. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Well, if I don't know the whole Bible, I can't be used of God. No. You don't have to know the whole Bible. But I can tell you this, if you'll get in and you'll study it and you'll allow God to work in your heart and allow God to speak to your heart through it, God will use it in your life to help other people come to know Christ. I don't know how many times I've been talking to someone in a verse that I have not thought about maybe in years, for whatever reason. I just have not thought about this verse. And as I'm speaking to someone, God will bring that verse back to my mind, and I'll be able to use it to help that person. And I'm like, where did that come from? You ever had that happen to you before? You're like, where in the world did that come from? Guess what? That's the Spirit of God using His sword to help you, right? And so we've got to be in it. If we don't know it, we're never going to be able to wield it. And so he says, take the whole armor of God, every piece, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I tell you something? I don't want to fight against those without a weapon. You fight against the spiritual wickedness in high places, you fight against the rulers of darkness without a weapon, you will fail. You'll fail. And friend, I believe that's why many Christians are living in failure. Because we're trying to fight a spiritual battle without the weapon that we need. Because the devil has convinced us that we don't need to spend time in his word. We don't need to. Well, you haven't gone to Bible college, so you can't understand it. What? Come on. Where was Bible college in the Bible? Well, you know, you haven't been called to be a pastor or a preacher, so you can't understand it. What? Who said that? You understand these are all lies of the devil? You understand what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep you from the Word of God. Because he knows the difference it'll make in your life. Don't let him keep you from it. Get in it. Know it. Study it. Find out what God says in his word, and then let it change your life so you can use it to help change others. We are in a spiritual battle. If you don't believe that, friend, you better wake up. We're in a spiritual battle against a spiritual enemy that is far greater than you and I are. But I love what John tells us in 1 John. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have someone that is far greater than our enemy. And he has given us a tool that if we will know and if we will wield, we can get victory and we can stand against our greatest enemy. Not in our power, not in our might, but in his power and in his might and with his weapon. And we can have victory. The question is do we really want victory? Or do we want to just continue living the life that we've been living in failure, defeat, discouragement? Or do we want to be able to use the Word of God to get victory in our lives, to put on the whole armor of God, to be able to stand against our enemy? Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to realize how important it is as a Christian that we know your word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, it's not enough just to come to church and listen to the preaching of the word of God. Lord, each of us as Christians need to be in it. We need to study it. We need to know it. We need to allow it to pierce our heart and change our lives, to trust you, to depend upon you, so that we can use your sword. We can use your word to not only defeat our enemy when he brings temptations and things into our life, but Lord, to help others to come to know Jesus as well. Lord, you've given us your Spirit so that we can know the things of God that are freely given to us. Lord, we'll never truly know your heart if we're not in your word. So, Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, have a specific time that we're studying and reading your word. Have a specific place that we know this place, this hour, this day, I'm going to be studying your word. Lord, help us to be consistent. And yes, I know there's going to be times when we might read and we might not understand exactly what we're reading, but Lord, help us to be consistent day after day after day. And the more we learn, the more we understand, the more you'll reveal to us and help us to understand some of these things that are harder. And Father, help us to be consistent in knowing your word, that we might be able to use it, to speak it, to get victory over sin and temptation. Lord, to help others to come to know Christ as their Savior as well. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this evening. Piano's just going to begin playing softly tonight. Maybe tonight God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you've not been in the Word like you should. And you know, I've not been studying the Word of God like I should. It's not been a priority in my life. I don't have a specific time. I don't have a specific place. It's just kind of shotgun it. Oh, maybe I'll do it here. Maybe I do it there. And I find that I do it far less than what I should. Friend, do you truly believe the Word of God is important? The sword of the Spirit is a weapon that He's given to us to use. Are we in it? To know it? To use it? To wield it? It's not a physical enemy we're facing. It's spiritual. We have to have a spiritual weapon. Dads, can I ask you, do your children, does your wife, your children, do they know that you spend time in the Word of God every day? Do they see you reading the Word of God? Moms, do your children see you reading the Word of God every day, spending time in His Word? Grandma, Grandpa, when the grandkids are over to your house, do they see that you take time in the Word of God? There's nothing greater you can teach your grandchildren and your children and the importance of God's Word in their lives. Teenager, young person, do you have time? Is there a time in a day that you take time to read God's Word and study it? To let God speak to your heart? To memorize Scripture? Hey, just start with one verse. Start with one verse. Memorize one verse. And after you memorize that one, go to another one. So what if it takes me a month? Then it takes you a month to learn a verse. It's better than not doing it at all. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Use it. Don't just keep it in a sheath. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, how important it is, again, that we study and know your Word. Father, I pray that you'd help us to get in it. Lord, we need, as Christians, to be in your Word, to know it. Lord, to meditate on it, to memorize it. Lord, that it would change our life first. And then, Lord, we can use it to be able to overcome the attacks of the enemy, to be able to use it to go against this world, to be on the offensive and try to reach people with the gospel, to allow the Word of God to be used to even pierce their heart and their life and help them see their need for Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray you to help us. Lord, help us not to make excuses. We can come up with all kinds of excuses, Lord, but there really is none. If we really believe it's important, we'll find the time, we'll find a place, we'll be consistent getting into your Word and reading it and studying it, meditating on it. Lord, help us with this. We need the whole armor of God to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Help us not believe his lies and thinking we don't need your Word. 5 minutes is enough. A verse or two here is enough. A day, a week, a month, that's enough. No. Help us not to believe his lies, but to be in it every day, studying it, learning it, allowing it to change our life. Father, would you help us with this? Help us put on the whole armor of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.